third chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Acts 26, verse 15. Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that is the Jews, and also from the Gentiles, now I ascended, to open their eyes and to turn them, or that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto thy heavenly light. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans writes, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spill thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not be perished, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and behold, I stand at the door. And not, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame him and am set down with my Father in this throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I read the first scripture, which tells us how the work of God begins. We actually have the reference to antecedents and has to do. I would like to suggest that the two incidents in those chapter 18 and 19 of Luke, that of the blind man and that of Zacchaeus, what we saw in the way they moved towards Jesus of Nazareth, whom they knew as a son of David, it was because of a sovereign work of God in their souls, which singled them out and went to the nation. The nation which was blind, who is as blind as my servant, they should have been the ones who sought the Lord, or rather to allow him to have opened their eyes for the whole nation to know him and to see him as their promised Messiah. But since they rejected him at that juncture, the Lord secured a sample in a poor blind man, and in a Zacchaeus, which must have delighted the heart of the Lord, in the presence of the nation's rejection of him. The very fact the Lord refers to the blind man's faith and what is said of Zacchaeus clearly shows that there was this in the way of an antecedent, sovereignly on the part of God, to give them the desires that were expressed there, and for Jesus to meet those desires. The instance is very beautiful. But I believe there are sample cases, both as to our experience of having our eyes open, and also in our the satisfaction in having such an object as Jesus, in that we have sight, object, and satisfaction. The 26th of Acts, I think it has a special place for we who are Gentiles. It was intended by the Lord that he should be the means for the enlightenment of the Gentiles. A result of the Lord having died and gone to the glory, and the Paul the Apostle, as the account is given by himself in this chapter, the historical account in chapter 9, and his own account in the chapter 22, and this in chapter 23. But in the presence of a Gentile king, Agrippa, he has the privilege to explain everything to him, and to express himself in this word to God, that all that hear me this day were altogether such as I am, except these and bodies. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, said the devil. And in giving this account, the verses where I read, it tells us how the Lord in the glory, the light above the brightness of shone round about him, and he heard this voice from heaven. And to him it was that of the Lord. But later to be told that the one who was the Lord was Jesus the Nazarene. There's something very, very important in that statement in Luke 18, as well as in the way Paul refers to Jesus as Lord. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus the Nazarene. To the nation, he was never any more than the despised Jesus, whose identity they could not deny, but they did refuse him as the Christ, and he was never any more to them the leader of the nation than Jesus the Nazarene. But the one Jesus Nazarene, Paul, learned from the glory that he was the Lord. And so we have the one who is in the position to commission, that is the Lord himself. Then we have the one who is commissioned, that is Paul. And then we have the commission which has been read to us. Delivering thee from the Jews and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. And for what purpose? And here we have, where there was blindness, gross blindness, and only a divine operation could alter those circumstances, as was the case with the blind man in Luke 19, 18. His commission had this effect, to open their eyes, not with the personal touch of Jesus, as was the case in making clear spittle, or in the case of this, of the one in the 18th of Luke, but by ministry, in the power of the Holy Ghost, the enlightened ministry, the truth as to who he is and what he is to be to those who believe in him, and the truth told by the one who was commissioned in that commission, and the effect of opening their eyes and to see for the first time. I'm sure this is the experience of a convert. He sees what he's never seen before. He sees for the first time, virtually, his eyes are open. Normally, of course, And this is the ministry that was given to Paul. To open their eyes. And then the result, or the secret, is eyes open, we see where we are. The world is pointed out as under the power of Satan, a place to be avoided, a place to shun, as well as one to whom we are attracted. This is the effect of having one's eyes open by Paul's ministry of a glorified Christ, of the wonderful story of the one who came to die for us on the cross, and who has gone to the glory to maintain us. In the ninth chapter, it was said to Paul, why persecutest thou me? For the erstwhile persecutor was persecuting those who had believed on him, and that's something that affected Paul for the rest of his days, persecuting the church. And to learn that the saints, Gentiles though they were, or believing Jews whom he persecuted, to learn that they were a company owned of Jesus as himself, and what was done for them, he felt it, and he was able to meet the situation. Wonderful things were given to Paul, and he would appear in him later with the revelations. And so we have what is proper to Christianity in eyes opened, and when everything is seen as they truly are, turning from all the darkness which is really the ignorance of God, and kept in ignorance by the power of Satan, turning from that darkness into the light of God's revelation of himself and in the person of his Son. And then further, to receive forgiveness of sins, a wonderful gift to receive. And then, and an inheritance. All that Christ is to inherit, denied him by the Jews, but reserved for him, asked of me, and I'll give thee the healing for thy inheritance. The inheritance is assured, and an inheritance amongst all them that are sanctified. Well, this is a wonderful thing. So we have the wonderful truth from Paul, as we have it in the Ephesians, and in Colossians, and in Philippians. And the letters from the prisons for a dark day. And then, since we have history behind us, the solemn fact, when we come to the third chapter of the book of the Revelation, that the church has to be viewed in such a sacklight as is depicted in the third chapter of the Revelation. One's eyes opened, but the profession is viewed here, having settled down and forgotten him, and it becomes necessary to have a touch from the Savior himself. And he says that the words are, to anoint eyes with eye salve that he received. I believe the third chapter, this section in the third chapter of the Revelation, I believe this is the appropriate word for this day in view of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true state of things seen by him. Passing from Ephesus and the rest where they were tested in Sardis, and the Pergamos and Thyatira and the Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea, the last church. This is the word to the whole profession, heeding what is said to the others, because there are four which go on together, that of Thyatira, which is an evidence of that around us, and then that movement of the Spirit of God, which called the faithful from that false system, which is represented in Sardis, and then certain things have to be said of those in Sardis, that they didn't find their works perfect before God, and that's a very solid thing. I don't believe in Sardis they ever fully entered into the heavenly call. And the result is, Christianity was seen as something to help them to make progress on the earth, and they've lost sight of the heavenly calling, apart from the remnant. We have those who answered to the Spirit's call in Philadelphia, and whilst we have those three and the fourth going on together, rather the last one is the general state of the whole as seen by the Lord and the well to be affected by what he says. One of the remarkable things is that the complete ignorance and insensibility of the whole state. People so occupied and satisfied with themselves and their progress, national, personal, or in whatever way, to the total disregard of the claims of the Lord Jesus, which results in this state of blindness and ignorance, a very poor condition entirely. And then we have the grace of the Savior, not now on the way to Jericho in view of the cross, but the one who has been to the cross and glorified in the whole truth of the divine revelation, told out faithfully and recorded for us in the Word, and the result of it, thousands called, and as they are called, we are tested, and the result of the test in the way is seen in the general way in this letter to the Laodiceans. So our Lord, when he did, he has the same loving heart. We were saying recently that in the third chapter of Colossians, where the husbands are addressed in regard to their wives, husbands, love your wives, and it's especially stated there in Colossians, to see him, and Zacchaeus to see who he was. Well, that truly is our experience. But as far as the profession, this is what is said of the profession. And even in a state of things like this, I think we could say that when the gospel goes out today, and as it has been in our experience, it is really at its answer in circumstances like this. Converted in a condition of things which answers to Laodicea. That is, we've had that transaction with the Lord. And he has met us in this way. Wonderful thing to be assured of our fitness for the presence of God in that which speaks of the pride in the time. To be rich, to be really rich, and the white raiment to be clothed to fit us for the presence of God. But then, as long as we're here, it's one of the greatest privileges to be in the light of God's revelation, to know who we are, and where we are, and assured of our destiny. And for that reason, we need this application, which is from himself personally, to anoint our eyes. And the Lord Jesus knows how to do that. He did it with the blind man. In chapter 9 we are here. And this is what he proposes. To anoint eyes with eyesight. I think we have to know the Lord very near to know that personal touch, and we shall be very conscious of it. But it's at the end of this section where it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." We can be outside there, but there's such a thing as our letting him in. Not keeping him outside or at a distance, but to be conscious of his nearness and to be assured of how genuine he is in all that he proposes, and to be those who have this application from himself, about our eyes, anointed with eyesight, that we may see. And it's a wonderful thing. One of the greatest privileges at the present time comes to be conferred upon us, to be those who really know whose we are, where we are, and assured of the fact that the Lord is coming for us. I stand at the door and am knocking, still knocking. And if any man, and here it's not in company with others, it's not waiting for another. The blind man withdrew himself from the rest of the nation in their unbelief and was prepared to identify himself alone in his desire towards a rejected Jesus in the face of a nation that had turned away from him. That was a great matter for that blind man. A great matter for Zacchaeus too. It's a great matter for Christians. They take a stand away from all public opinion and popular views and the fashions and the worldly projects and aspirations. For they are very, very low indeed. They exclude the best of Christianity. What a wonderful thing it is then to read in these letters that Judas is to be known, desirous of applying these things to us, and that we may get the full benefit of it, even in our days, in view of his return.